This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey everybody, Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back with a new episode, and I'm joined today by part of the team here. I've got Matt with me.
Heyo! Lacey is a slacker yet again. No, I'm just kidding. I need to stop giving her so much crap on air. But Lacey is unfortunately not with us. She is feeling a little bit under the weather, but hopefully she'll be here for Thursday's episode.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Lacey, hope you're feeling better if you hear this episode. Matt, I hear your audio is a little different for those people listening. Matt is out and about this week.
I apologize. I'm on the road for, I'm in Texas this week for a board meeting, and I brought my mic with me, and then I was telling Ben, I unfortunately did not bring the adapter to convert it from USB to USB-C, so I'm sitting here with this Rode mic on my desk like an idiot, but yes, I am in Texas, and can I just say, if we have any Texas listeners, I'm sorry, because this state just sucks. Maybe it's the Oklahoma rivalry, but I know Ben agrees. I know he thinks it's at least on Dallas, which is where I am today.
Yes.
It's quite close. And you know what's so fun? Lacey lives here, so I can dog on her, and she's not in this episode to defend it. So... Yeah,
our Texas listenership just plummeted.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. They're like, F this guy. Get him off the show. Before this episode, though, like literally an hour ago, I went and hung out with Parker Thompson, who is a good friend of both of ours. And he actually works at Webflow on the support team. And he's been working there for, 2 years now? Something like that?
Yeah, 1.5, 2 years. Yeah, something like that.
He worked with him quite a bit.
Yeah.
Or previously.
Yeah, Parker, I apologize. I hired Parker, and I think I would remember. No, it's over 2 years now, I think. Yeah.
But he's, he saw that I was going to be in Texas, and we got coffee. He is such a good dude. If you don't already follow him, we'll put a link to his Twitter in the show notes. But link one of the things we're talking about is Parker was the link in the show notes. Did he make the link in the show notes t-shirt?
I think he's the one who bought the domain too.
The domain.
He has the link in the show notes domain.
Yeah. But beforehand, and this is actually the topic of today's episode because he got my gears turning on this. We were talking about actually Ben, because that's how every conversation with a Webflower goes. We end up talking about Ben and bragging on Ben. But he said, I don't know what tool this was. He wouldn't give me the specifics, but it's some tool that you and him built together using autocode. And he said you gave him the code and he just changed a few endpoints. But like he didn't explain. I don't know if he can or I don't know if you can, but he made it sound really cool. And so I'm curious, can you give some insight here on what was built with autocode? And like, I've never used it. I've used it once and I got kind of overwhelmed because it seems very code focused. So let's go here. Can you give the rundown of what you built, or can you talk about it at a high level?
Yeah, I can talk about it at a high level. So essentially, we were needing to scrape some data off a bunch of websites. I think we had like a list of 5,000 plus domains. And so there becomes a question of like, how do you scrape the data? And of course, there's always, it becomes an issue of resources all the time, right? You know, you have engineering teams who can do it for you, but you're going to have to put in a ticket and wait for those teams to have time to build a tool or to do the, write some code to do the thing you needed to do. And there was sort of some time constraints there. I think we're hoping to get something soon or something stood up. And so I was like, hey, I think I can do this. I've used Puppeteer before. Puppeteer is like an NPM package essentially it allows you to scrape websites.
That's the other thing. You mentioned Puppeteer. Can you explain? He said it's a headless browser, but I've never in my life heard that term. Can you let's pause there real quick and take a tangent. What is a headless browser?
Yeah, so a headless browser is a browser that exists, but like it exists in a server somewhere. It's not really a browser. It's emulating a browser. So
can you see it?
In this, no, you don't see it. So you essentially write code and you tell it what to do. You say, go to this page and then click on this thing and then take that information that you get from that and then pull that in and put it in an array or store it in a database. And so if you want to, like I built a no-code API, and so I used Axios and Churio, which is sort of similar, but actually it's not similar. It's different, but it's a way to scrape sites. But that uses like it's like setting in a server on a node server, and it's just kind of always available, and it executes on command. Whereas Puppeteer is emulating and using like that headless browser component to go and grab data. So essentially, what I was doing is taking a bunch of sites, telling us whether it was a Webflow site, and then grabbing any related data and then storing it. And then I think Parker modified it and turned it into created another endpoint so that they could do it on demand with some things coming in through forms, URLs coming in through forms, which is pretty fun. But AutoCode is super powerful. And so for those who don't know, AutoCode is essentially just a node server in the cloud, and it does look intimidating. Like, you open it up,
it's very intimidating. It looks like a literal IDE, but like, you know, you have some templates and you have some, I think they call it like libraries or something like that. I mean, like different, maybe some of the JavaScript libraries, but you have kind of like templates. But I mean, I know how to code fairly well, but not like I'm not a great coder or programmer. But I definitely opened AutoCode and I was like, this feels a little bit above what I know how to do. So it's all Node?
Yeah, and there's some really cool things about it too. Like if you open it up, you can share that IDE with somebody else so you can collaborate and write code together, which is really fun. So you can do that. You can publish them as apps so that other people can take it and use it, which I've got a couple I'm going to publish pretty soon. And then you can, you know, create snippets and share that with the community so people can learn. But the real power in it, what I think is really cool, is it has the ability. You nailed it. It has libraries. And so essentially what you would always have to do in the past is you have to write all this code yourself. You write code to do something, right? You know, you're trying to figure out, okay, I need to go get this. So for instance, here's a good one. I've got a form that's given me data, and on submission, it's going to go, I want it to create this row in Airtable, and I want to use the data that comes through, and I want to create a row. Well, you might use, you know, Zapier or IntegraMAT or whatever to do that. But what's really cool is in AutoCode, you can type, you know, create a new function to await, and they have lib dot. And then when you type the dot, all the tools that it interacts with shows up. So you could say Airtable or Webflow, and you choose Airtable, and then it says, what do you want to do in Airtable? You want to create a record? Do you want to search for something? Do you want to, like, what do you want to modify something? What do you want to do? And you tell it. And then essentially it creates dependencies like you would in a node server. And it's its own code that it's written. So it connects Airtable and you can put in your, you know, your API key for Airtable and like get everything together, right? Connect your account. And then whenever you say what you're going to do, it pulls up a form. And essentially you fill out that form. You're going to create a record and it tells you, it asks you, okay, what base, what table? What, you know, what are the things going to be? And you kind of fill out this form, which is really nice. It's actually pretty easy. There's still some complexity to it, but that's the part that's hidden away that makes it really challenging for people. They pull it up and they're like, whoa, hold on.
Is what you just described, is that like, Is it different than, say, in a Zapier flow, you say, you know, you tap into some data source and you manipulate it, and then you go on to the next step, or in TigerMat, you create the next little, you know, circle. Like, is it different in that sense? Is it easier? Is it more efficient? Like, what is the value add versus Zapier or TigerMat?
That's a great question. I think it's the what makes it valuable, or what makes it really fun to use, is the power and the flexibility that it gives you, right? So with Zapier, with Make, with all these other tools, you know, I'm limited to the list of things that it gives me, right? Like,
sure.
So with AutoCode, it's like, what do I want to do? Oh, cool. I want to launch a rocket to the moon. I guess you can't launch a rocket to the moon. But, like, you know, whatever you want to do, like, you think of it. And what's, I mean, the power of the internet, if you're good at Googling, you can just Google how to whatever in Node, and then it's going to give you code, and you just modify it a little bit. And so now you're sending it to Airtable, and then you're also punching it. Or guess what? They have a million different things, so you can actually do a lot with that, and you can call it another. So you can create in AutoCode, you can create different files, which essentially become different endpoints. So if you're thinking of endpoints with, like, the Webflow CMS, like get items, get a specific item, these are all different endpoints. You can create different endpoints. So you could create the thing in Airtable and then have a different endpoint that sends it to Slack. And you can have lib dot, and then guess what? There's a Slack integration. There's a Discord integration. There's a Webflow integration. You know, so if you want to get all of your Webflow, like, so one of my favorite things to do is I will, if I'm working with a lot of Webflow data or data from a bunch of different Webflow sites, I can take three collections and three different Webflow sites, get them all of those items in a list and in an object, and then display them so I can give somebody an endpoint. That's a JSON API endpoint, and it has all the collection data for all three of those sites, and then you can get it and take it and import it using Parabola, or you could, you know, with JavaScript
with that API that I create. So let's say I do exactly what you say. If I have, like, three collection items and I merge them together and I create an endpoint, is it advanced enough for me to set some sort of authentication on that API endpoint, or is it like an open endpoint for everyone to tap into?
It's going to be open, but okay. You can limit it to, so you can use, like, certain functions to, and I'll try to share some, I'll try to take my snippets and publish them to AutoCode and share them with the community and our listeners so you can see it. But there's code snippets you can use where you can say, if the call doesn't come from this URL, don't run it. And it will just say not authorized. Cool. So, yeah. You can do that. You can limit it. Or AutoCode has a built-in function that requires no code. So if you know the IP address that the calls are going to come from, you can literally say, if it doesn't come from this IP address, don't work.
Yeah.
So you can do that. But, you know, the other thing it does is, because it doesn't require authentication, let's say you're using Webflow. Let's say you're using Card and you, or whatever, someplace that you can write code, but you have no place to store a key. Like we talk about all the time, no code API or other tools that lets you go get data with a fetch call in JavaScript. And, you know, you need to have an API key to go get that data. Well, now you can get data from Airtable without having to show off an API key, right? Because AutoCode has your API key in it. And they are hiding that back from users, so it's not visible. So you can get data, you can post data, and it's just a way to manipulate your app or do whatever you want. And again, super powerful because it is code. But when you look at, like, if you create, you know, a new web service or a new API, you know, they have this huge library of things that are available. And then they even have their own utilities, which I think is really cool. So if, you know, you type, you know, let's lib dot, it'll load the available APIs. It's like Airtable, Box, Clearbit, Discord, Giphy, GitHub, Gmail, like Google, you know, you can use SQL, Notion.
It's very extensive.
I mean,
out of the box.
Shopify, yeah, very Stripe, which is also really cool. Twitter. So if you're wanting to, like, one like something I've built for myself too for projects is using it to get tweets based off a search, and the amount of data that comes back via the Twitter API is like mind blowing, right? And so you can actually create, instead of having paying some service for a Twitter wall, you can have an endpoint that's available all the time and just sync that over to Webflow. Like, get these tweets, put them in Webflow, like, delete everything that was in there, put these in, publish them. And so you have all the latest tweets all the time. And then, you know, you're not using Zapier, you're not using whatever, or Parabola or these other tools. It's just kind of, it all happens right here. And then you can actually have an endpoint with all the tweets if you wanted to share it with something else. If you're using it with other tools, you know, you now have that available for that too. So
I know that I actually don't know the extent of which this project uses AutoCode, but I know you and I are actually at 80/20 are working on a project together that you're contracting for us for or on. Can you talk about that at a high level of like what that does and what you're using AutoCode for?
Yeah, it's for a project that's a calculator. And so the client is just like calculating something on the fly. So the whole, what we were needing to do was present a form. They give some information, like a user will. And then based on the information they give, we're going to present them with a bunch of data. All the data lives in a back end that's a popular no-code tool I'm not going to talk about, just to kind of keep things discreet. But essentially, when you load the page, so basically I think there's 9 endpoints in AutoCode that we use. So essentially, when you're first setting up as a user, I arrive at the site, I'm going to like figure out my calculations. The first thing that we're doing is populating select fields with a couple of the endpoints, so that they can change the select options on the fly in their database without having to, you know, touch any code or touch any web development projects. They want to add an option, they go into that tool, they add it, it's there on page load. They refresh, it's there. And based on that, like, we tie IDs and different things out of that tool, and then whenever you submit that form, we go to another page. And then we run a bunch of different requests. They're stacked on top of each other where we're hitting multiple endpoints.
This is all
getting using all of that data. This is all using AutoCode. So basically, once you pass that through, it then returns information back to you. And then we're getting a bunch of data out of that back end on page load. And then we're running calculations on the fly. So it's using JavaScript to do math. And then write it to the DOM, which was actually a lot of JavaScript on the front end, which is a little more complicated. But and then, you know, on top of that, we do have something that's a little more basic. So essentially, you can think of it as a database. You click on a button when you're on that page with your results to get more information, and it makes a call to this no-code tool, and it creates a row which does its own math, returns the items, and we display it in a modal. It's pretty fun.
It seems, I mean, I feel like I'm seeing more and more use cases for it these days. Like, I heard Parker talk about it. Like I said, you were working on that project with us using it. I'm pretty sure we talked about this right before the episode started. I'm pretty sure Kylie, I think her Twitter username is Bagels and Granola. We'll link it. And she came on the show to talk about her product, and she built it with Harold, I believe, is the name of the product. She built that with AutoCode, if I'm remembering correctly. Is that right?
That's right. Kylie Smith, episode 69. Okay. And we'll put the link in the show notes. But she used AutoCode a lot. And I think had the same, I mean, we talked about this in the episode, you can go back and listen to it, but I think had the same challenges you did. Like, you come in and you go like, okay. And I think earlier in product, it's life cycle, you could type, it was better at revealing that whole lib.lib. Right. command and getting you to that power quicker, that value quicker. They've sort of hidden that, which I don't understand, but, you know, I guess I do, I guess a little bit. But anyway, but it's a pretty neat tool. So essentially, it's essentially a node server. So if you know a little bit of JavaScript, or if you've just been wanting to learn, you can just watch the code that it writes for you, and you learn a whole lot. You can learn a whole lot from that. And then it lets you link resources, so they kind of become dependencies, so you can link like Webflow or Airtable or, you know, whatever it might be. And then you can also add dependencies. So like where Parker and I were working together, we're using Puppeteer. You can go on the dependencies and you can look at NPM packages, which are really popular, and you can pull those in and use those inside of AutoCode as well. And then when you build everything, it gives you a window, and you can, mine's on the right, but you can have it at the bottom or wherever you want to kind of place it. And it gives you a place to run it, and you can kind of see what the response is going to be, what the page will look like. It gives you the address. And then you can kind of see the logs and all that fun stuff, and there's a place to get help. Their community is really cool. They have a Discord. I'm pretty sure that's super active, where you can get lots of support and lots of help pretty quickly. Like, if you're feeling stuck, that Discord's like a good place to go to get help. But there's just so many things that are available within the tool like that that are, I mean, really popular, really, really powerful. It's super powerful. And pretty fun to work with.
So if I'm a complete no code, let's say I have some experience in no code. I have experience with Zapier. I have experience with Make. I have experience with Webflow. But I don't have any experience with AutoCode. Should I go teach myself JavaScript first and then jump in? Should I teach myself Node? Should I just jump in and then hope to figure it out? Like, what is the path forward here? And I'm asking literally for me almost. I can write JavaScript, but I can't write Node, at least not the correct X4. Yeah, I mean, they're similar. But the exact nuances between them I haven't learned yet.
There are differences, but like if you can navigate JavaScript, you're going to have a really easy time. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, where do you start? I don't think you have to start with JavaScript. I think Kylie talked about that. There's a lot of people who prove that out. One, AutoCode support and community is really cool. And then two, that just with a little bit of Google power and that libdot, you can get a lot of distance and a lot of mileage out of the tool without knowing anything. So I think it depends on your type. If you're the adventurous type, go get it. You know, if you're somebody who's like, I am so easily overwhelmed, I would say start with a JavaScript course, start with some, you know, basic code, and try to get yourself to a place where you feel more comfortable diving into that world. And, but I think the thing that's worth mentioning is, you know, we talk about this all the time. And it goes back to something I used to say all the time, which is I used to work in IT, and I tell end users, don't be afraid to push buttons. You're not going to like blow anything up. Like, this is not like a villain's lair. You're not going, like, New Jersey's not going to disappear off the map tomorrow if you do something wrong, right? Like, it's okay to break things, and it's okay to not understand. It's okay to kind of dive in. I would say the important thing is just, you know, where you feel comfortable and how adventurous you feel. But we really do need to talk about ways to learn JavaScript on this podcast too, because
we both learned, your JavaScript is miles and miles and miles ahead of mine, but I think we're all pretty self-taught on this pod. So maybe that's a future episode.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Wes Boss's JavaScript course was really good for me. I really like it.
I'd have to think.
Scrim has got good stuff too.
Yeah, I don't think I actually ever took a course. I think it was a lot of Stack Overflow. I'd have to. I'm going to think about that. I think it was a lot of Googling. I became an expert Googler, which is most of the job. So. It's funny. We took one of my employees, we were talking about this recently, and he was like, how'd you get this code going? And I was like, look, let me show you my second tab over here. This is exactly what I Googled, and I just copied that code. And then I reworked it just a tiny bit for this exact use case, and then I gave it to you. Like, I know you think I'm
really congratulations.
But like, that's the entire thing right there. I just Googled. That's
Matt Varghese, senior engineer.
Of course. Right there.
Because that's what engineering is. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the things, like, there's been a couple of times at Webflow where one or two of the engineers have said, like, hey, you could probably pass the engineering test and become an engineer here. And I'm like, I don't, like, listen, here's what I do. I see what's wrong. I Google it. I find the answer. I modify it just to fit my use case. And then I roll it out. And they're like, what do you think we do? Which makes me laugh. I know that's not 100% true. But, I mean, in theory, that's, I mean, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty, you know, and just dive into those pieces and really give it a look, because it is really powerful. And so you haven't really given it a shot yet, though. I mean, you've just kind of dove in and taken a cursory look, right?
No, I think so. One of the use cases that I wanted to build with AutoCode, that is the reason I went and then I just retreated, was I think I wanted to build a Slack bot, specifically something for, I think I wanted a better way to onboard new employees. And there is a Slack work, or there's a Slack bot no code tool that Slack built now. That kind of gets me, you know, in a classic no code fashion, it gets me like 80% of the way there, but like it doesn't do the rest of the stuff that I wanted to do. And I jumped into AutoCode because you can build Slack bots, you can build Discord bots. In fact, I think that's their main tagline at the top, building bots. And
yes, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because that's a use case. Now that I'm looking at it, we didn't talk about that use case at all. And also, the things that have been built so far we've discussed are not bots. In those,
well, I wanted to. I did want to talk about that before we get out of here, though, because so I did talk to some of the folks at AutoCode the other day. It was funny. They were like, "Well, what are you using it with? To build things at Webflow, like what are you building, you know?" And so I kind of explained some of the things, but I've had a lot of people who have reached out to me and are like, how are you using AutoCode? Like, to what end are you using AutoCode with like a front end tool? Because I want to use it with Webflow. Like, I do think it would make me more powerful, but everything, and I faced that challenge too when I first opened it up, was like, okay, learn AutoCode and everything is build a Discord bot. And although that's cool, it was not my use case. Now, there are some fun things you can do with that, and especially when you flip to Slack, there's a lot of really cool things that Slack allows you to do that's pretty powerful. And so connecting your front end to Slack, even, like, you could probably parse some of that and, like, figure it out. But, you know, trying to make it work in a more traditional, like, CRUD sense or whatever was a little bit of a lift. And most of their learnings, I think that's the drawback to using AutoCode. You are going to have to work as someone who's using no-code tools, if you're using Bubble, if you're using Webflow, if you're, whatever it is, when you want to use AutoCode, you're going to have to work a little bit to make it happen, because they don't make it easy for you, because they aren't focused on traditional, like, front. I say that, they might tell me I'm wrong. They might be focused, but, like, if you look at their materials,
right,
it doesn't seem like that's what they're focused on, right? Like, they are really thinking about bots and some of that ecosystem, like Twitch and streaming. Like, how do you empower creators to be able to have some sort of control over chat and be able to moderate communities at scale and that sort of thing? So, you know, that's
maybe they found there's like a massive niche in Discord bots that you and I both don't realize is wildly profitable, and maybe they found it and they're just like, this copy works.
And yes,
we're just over here be like, why are they talking about bots so much?
I chatted with Keith from AutoCode, and one of the things he told me is, like, they have a whole community of people. He was like, we have like 15-year-old kids building bots and making money.
Wow.
Which I love. I think that's so cool, right? They have like these, they have this community full of people who aren't your traditional engineers, who are finding a niche and really driving value. I think for us, we do talk a lot about front-end development because that's what we do, like, on this podcast. But there's a lot of people in the no-code community who are trying to build bots. And you could probably do a ton in your community or for other people working with AutoCode. It, again, so much power and so much flexibility. It's going to let you blow away anything you could do in Make or Zapier. And so it's worth looking at. And I would say, too, I think their pricing is really generous. I think their pricing structures, it's wild how much they give you you know, with an account. So it's pretty nice. It's good stuff.
It's, I mean, it looks like a nifty little tool. I think I got to give it another go. Maybe we'll do some joint collaboration session or something, and you can answer my question, because I'm sure it'll still be overwhelming to some sense, but I'm sure it'll be a little bit more comfortable this time around.
We should do that and live stream it on YouTube in the next week or two.
I'm down. You know what? Let's live stream it and then build a bot for the live stream on the live stream. Let's just make it.
We could cover some like really basic use cases, like capturing form data from Webflow, you know, and then like sending it somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
Or grabbing data from somewhere and passing it to the front end of Webflow. So
I love it.
All right, folks, tweet us if it's something you want us to do. We'll make it happen. So,
well, cool. Thank you for teaching me about autocode.
This episode kind of just went off left field. I love it.
When Parker told me about it, I knew I had to ask more about what actually, because I actually tried to ask him about what was going on, and he said, "I think you wrote a lot of it," and then just handed it off. So, it's cool to have that context.
Yeah, fun stuff. Props to Parker. He sells himself short. He did a lot of work too. So,
great dude.
Yeah. I just kind of got the ball rolling.
His Twitter account's in the show notes.
Yeah, and go give AutoCode a try. Let us know what you think. So, all right, everybody. Thanks so much for hanging out. We'll catch you later. Deuce.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.